Hi, it's Dave here. Over at the Cinemile High Club at patreon.com/thecinemile, we are going to be doing weekly recap episodes of For All Mankind Season 4. If you haven't already seen this show, please just go out and find it. It is on Apple TV Plus. So here is the first episode, which we're giving here on the main feed for free. And if you want to keep up with the weekly recaps, then just head over to patreon.com/thecinema. Hello, patrons.
Hello.
We are here to talk about For All Mankind 4. For All Mankind. That's
amazing.
What it should be.
Four seasons.
It should have been Two Mankind, Two Furious.
It should have been, yeah.
Two seasons ago.
We are thrilled that this is back. I kept having the fear that it would have been delayed because of like actor strikes or writing strikes, but I guess it had all been kind of shot.
I think timing just kind of worked out.
Yeah, it worked really well.
So here we are, full spoilers now for seasons 1 to 3 of For All Mankind, mm-hmm. and for season 4, episode 1 of For All Mankind. Mm-hmm. We are going to be doing this weekly.
Mm-hmm. As we did last season.
Right here on our Patreon, the Cinemile High Club. So
I think we've been talking about it since season 1, but I think last year was the first time we did every episode, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. And we know our patrons love the show like we do. And actually, I put up on our Instagram that it was coming back and that we were going to be doing weekly episodes again. And loads of people messaged being like, I didn't know it was back, which I think happens a lot with Apple, that people kind of miss stuff and there's no actors are promoting it. And then B, like loads of people subscribed back to Patreon again just for this. So people love this amazing show. And
so if for any reason you're listening to this and you haven't watched any of this, why are you listening to this?
Go
and watch it, because this is despite some blips in season 3, overall this is one of the best shows on TV.
And we always tell people who haven't watched it yet, like, obviously start on season 1 and like give it a couple of episodes and then trust us.
And then jump right to season 3, then go back to season 2.
Give season 1 a couple of episodes and then you'll get into it. Now we need to just kind of pick up where we left off, which wasn't a good place for us on this show.
No. So
and a lot of people online, because actually I was listening to the For All Mankind official podcast last season, which I think I'll do again this season because it's always interesting.
But yes, then hosted by Danielle herself.
Yeah. And I was reading a lot of like online after it had aired as well, and like everyone was in agreement with us that they hated the whole bombing plot.
It was bungled.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
It was bungled and it was boring.
Yeah.
Can we think of another B?
But I also just think it was just like high drama for the sake of it, right? What For All Mankind has always been, its strength has always been that the big crises moments or crises were always grounded in a character decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Ed in season 1, you know, taking a Russian hostage because he just discovered that his son had mm-hmm. died. Ed in season 2. It's always Ed. Ed in season 2 with his finger on the button about to start World War 3. And he's discovered that his wife's having an affair and is leaving him.
Tracy Gordo deciding to put tape over the film. Yeah. And I'll never forget. I will never forget that scene.
Season 3 was
season
short.
Season 3, thought that we would care about Gordo and Tracy's kids. We didn't.
Well, the Danny stuff, we kind of hated, and I think it did kind of all come together in the end.
Yeah, the Danny stuff, fine.
But his brother, again, they tried for the same thing. We're going to root this character's decisions in, you know, a natural frustration from his parents being dead. And also how they were treated by what he sees as, like, vilifying NASA. And then I do think they tried to see, like, a general discontent. You know, they're very good at establishing like the wider context of this alternate
present
in the politics and people. And I loved this idea that because they invented nuclear fission or whatever, clean energy, that oil rig workers mm-hmm. and fossil fuels were just gone overnight.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
In the 90s.
The alternate history is one of the most cool things about this show.
It's fascinating. And so that would create a lot of discontent, and that was largely around President Ellen's plot in season 3. So that's that's fascinating stuff. Yeah. And yeah, I can see why there would be a domestic terrorism incident.
Yeah. And we forgive it, by the way. We're here for season four. We've forgiven
them. So all that seems fine, but just having to go through the motions with that moany little...
It's the character. Yeah. From the moment he showed up in the first episode at the wedding, we were like, oh no.
And also, you're just not with him. I just wasn't with him. I just wanted to slap him. I hated all the people he was with. And then it just felt silly. It felt movie of the week with the
character better.
The van parking up, and it was Jack Bauer kind of stuff. And the show is better than this.
Do Karen like that?
Yeah, what was worse was that Karen dying, whatever, significant, sad, but they killed Molly, kind of, and then like left her husband Noah, who was a fantastic character and also loved Karen, give him nothing. He got no finale, no send off.
But somehow,
anyway, sorry.
One more thing though to reference. Go somehow, and I love this for her, albeit it kind of didn't make sense. Margot managed to escape the rubble and hide in Russia.
And go to Russia.
And the end of the last season was very fun when it was like the future and Margot was in Russia.
Now,
so we're
clean
here.
Slate.
We're here.
Water under the bridge. Yeah. We forgive you, fam.
Like, we're obsessed.
We're on to season four.
Yeah.
So we've just watched episode one. Let's talk about quickly sort of the fill in the gaps. The show naturally jumps a decade or so every
Seems
season.
Seems to jump 7 years. This one.
Yes, and we if you're anyone else, I don't know if you guys watch this, but we watched all the news reports that come as bonus features.
Yeah, there's like a rail on Apple that's like bridge the gap between season three and season four.
Yes.
So we obviously went in and watched all the
you
bits
can watch
in that
it
first.
Year by year. There's different news reports. It's fun bonus content. It's honestly, it's a more boring version of the montage that you get at the beginning of the episode anyway.
We kind of forgot you got
it. It's a bit
more
detailed.
But it's still interesting because they explained the alternate history, and it's really interesting how like Gore beats Bush, but it's still really tightly contested. But it's just the opposite because Gore beats him effectively for reasons, because he's coming off the back of an opposite party, the Republican presidency.
Yeah.
So like there was time for a change either way. But
what I love are the things that they were the history that their world just mirrors ours, but slightly differently. You know, some things will play out.
Like they still have reality. They still have the Osbournes.
Yeah, I love that the Osbournes, but they have another so reality show is still a thing now in 2001 or 2002.
But there's like a reality show on Mars.
There's a moon miners, which is really funny, and also plays into one of our new characters who we'll talk about shortly. Mm-hmm. But the other significant things were the Soviet Union still exists. Berlin Wall never fell, mm-hmm. Or as far as I can tell. But it has become a capitalist enterprise, much mm-hmm. like it did in real life. So we see a lot of the same footage of McDonald's and Louis Vuitton and Hugo Boss going in, and it becoming, and the economic boom in Russia, mm-hmm. Which a lot of that did happen, and Russian oligarchs. So a lot of that, but it is the same, but with very different context, because mm-hmm. the Soviet Union still exists, and we'll talk about Margot in a second. The other significant things were Ellen getting a second term.
Yeah.
And we didn't see Ellen in this episode, which was interesting. But
we
get told she married her long-lost love,
Pam.
Which is nice, Pam. And that they live happily together, I think, in Texas.
What I think is one of the things we were worried about when we started watching this was like, boy, they've killed Karen off. They killed, obviously, Gordo and Tracy off, which, again, we'll never, ever forgive them for. And there's a lot of other, like, they had brought in kind of younger actors to fill the void, but we don't feel like they've replaced.
No Danny here.
Yeah, they've not replaced the roster as strongly.
Yeah.
So I love that it's just like, look at what age is Ed? I don't know, but he's still in space. And that's Ed Baldwin. I was thinking about it when we were watching the recap for season three, because we had to refresh ourselves a bit. It's like shivers down my spine. Like, I think Ed Baldwin is like top five TV characters of all time. He's so charismatic, that actor. And when we listened to the official podcast last year, there was an interview with him and the young Danny.
With Danielle.
Talking about when they filmed that scene where they were like locked in a bunker in season three and stuff. And Ed is just, he's so intense in real life. And I mean that in the best possible way. Like, he's like, I imagine in real life, aside from how he looks, he's a very tall, like muscular person. But I would say he can, any room he's in, he's like, the person everyone's paying attention to.
Yes.
His charisma is like off the charts.
And he's not American, which surprised me. I think he's Swedish or something. He's got an accent.
Yeah. And Ed Baldwin is such a fascinating character. And I think one of the reasons I'm dwelling on him a little bit is because it's Ed and Danny are really the only ones we have from the first season now. And Ed obviously...
No, that's not true. You've got Danielle,
that's what I mean.
Margo.
From the first season.
Oh, you said Danny. I thought you meant
Danny. Sorry. I mean from the astronauts. We've only two astronauts left. And Ed, because he had that time when he, in even though Danielle's been in it as long, and I love Danielle as well, he had more emotional impact on us in season one because of the whole plot with his son dying and then him being stranded in Mars. He's
had so much tragedy.
Exactly. I feel like we've been with Ed his whole life. Like,
yeah.
I feel like the show has really made me feel like that.
That's why a show like this is so good. It's when it spans so much time, you feel it.
Anyway, we need to talk about this episode.
Right.
We love talking about how much we love
the show. We're going to break it into characters. We're going to start in Russia with Margot. So Margot is living her worst life. It's very miserable there. She just like, but I think what I like about what they've done here is they've really very subtly set up how miserable it is, just like by little things, like the details of like her strapping a hot water bottle to the inside of her coat.
Which, by the way, I'm like,
pathetic things.
But also, I wanted to use that because I am sitting with a hot water bottle right now. Like, but there's something.
But like, she's got her hand bandaged up. Like, and then, no, we'll talk about the sort of the general aging up of the characters, and it's a bit of a mixed bag. But Margot feels like old. She's such a good actress. Ren
Schmidt.
She's
so good. I love her.
She's kind of walking older. She's wearing so many layers. She looks so just like
depressed.
But
you know when someone. When a shot opens to someone and their feet get out of bed and get into a pair of slippers, that's just movie short for, oh, you're old.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen a young
you're
character?
Old or you've given up on life.
Have you ever seen a young character doing that?
Wearing slippers?
No.
No.
Just that shot of the foot coming out of the bed.
But I feel like I've been doing that since I was in my 20s.
Yeah, but you're not.
Slowly you're getting not out of bed there. And putting on my slippers.
Yeah, but they don't do that groaning. For young people on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, her life seems like spectacularly dull.
Yes.
Now, we've only kind of seen 2 days in the life.
Well, we get a sense, but we get a sense that she has a routine. You know, she talks to the, and she's got some
pigeons.
Friendliness. She speaks to, you know, she has a friendly interaction with the baker who's nice and knows her and gives her something extra.
I love how she speaks Russian, but with her like, ha, amarga.
I love that. Yeah. Spasiba.
and she never got to hook up with Sergey after all
that.
Oh,
that's another tragic thing.
Tragic.
He ended up in America. He
has this brilliant life in America and she's living in this like awful place.
I know. But what else do we learn? She's a creature of a habit. She's got a routine. She's got sort of acquaintances. She's friendly with people but doesn't seem to have any friends. Seems to be very isolated. And then when she finds out about the asteroid issue... She goes to Cosmonaut HQ or whatever that is. Apologies. Mm-hmm. And has a rather interesting confrontation where we see a spark of the old Margot coming.
I love that.
Where he's like, what do you think that you could do better than us? That your everything you know is 10 years out of date. And she goes, something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but she's just like, in your case, just about everything.
I know, I love that. Just about everything. And we think that her and Elena are going to...
Oh God, is it Elena or Elena?
I can't remember. We think they're going to reconnect though this season. Margot ain't sitting in Russia by herself for the rest of the season.
No way.
And then that woman shows up at the end on the bench and starts talking about birds migrating for winter and leaves her phone number for Margot. So.
I mean, that's classic KGB stuff.
So good.
The birds are migrating north for the winter.
Soon a spring will come and
here
you
is a
will change.
Is she Alida? Yeah, Alida. Oh, you're right, Alida.
So anyway, because at one point it cut from a scene with Alida to a scene with Margot as well, just reminding us.
Yeah, I mean that's where the drama is between those two. And why don't we hop over to Alida then? I don't see if anything
hop,
else
skip
to say
and jump
about,
to Alida.
About Margot.
No, just that I'm happy to see Margot back, and
they've done a good job on her aging up. She looks significantly old, but she looks like she's aged 20 years because she would have. Just by the whole, like, being out of the game.
She's an exile, like.
Yeah.
Like, she lives by herself.
She doesn't even have a piano. Do you remember? She used to love the piano.
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is, Does she have no money? I guess she probably doesn't, because she faked her own death. So, like, it's not like she can access funds.
Yes,
like, because she would have been very rich in America.
Good question. I don't have a sense of that. Neither of us do. I'd love to hear what's everyone's thoughts in the comments. What is her position here? Is she, because she, I believe...
Maybe she gets, like, an old age, a Russian old age pension.
No, I believe she's off the books with the KGB. That's who the contact was. She is officially dead, and she is... an asset of theirs.
Yeah.
And if it were to come out, if the Americans were to realize that she was alive, she would be done for treason.
If I was her, I would like...
I would say.
Hop on a train to Poland or something. I wouldn't stay in Russia.
No, but she is basically a prisoner of the KGB there. That's
I guess they showed someone was outside her car.
That's my... Yeah, they're watching her. So that's my interpretation of her situation.
I think she should hop on a train to Poland, and then she should fly to Ireland, where we will welcome her with open arms.
Sure. Yeah, come on in, Margot. What are you talking about? We would, if it was between the Soviet, the Russia and America, Ireland would ship a fugitive off to the States, no bother.
No, I just mean in the alternate noughties of Ireland, I think we should have had a NASA station as well, and Margot could be the one to set it up for us.
Sure. Do you think we'll finally see the first Irish person in space on this show?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, who are we on to?
I feel like we already saw that in a previous season. We did.
I think we did.
Yeah. Someone in the comments is... Everyone's listening saying, yeah. Screaming, no, that
Yeah, but
Irish
everyone
person.
Goes to space now anyway, so in this show, it's That's not true. A big deal anymore.
Yeah, and we'll get to our new character, Minor Man, Minor Dude. Right, let's go to NASA then. Let's go to Alita. So Alita, we learn her...
Who we've also followed since season one, but she was like a very... It was a different actress. I think when the actors change, you've less...
Yes.
Like, same with some of the other characters.
So they haven't aged her up as much, but then she's gone from maybe 30s to 40s. So not a huge amount. All they've done is given her a haircut, really.
Yeah.
But...
It bothered me last season with the show as well, when they really get into the aging stuff, like... Just throw a few more wrinkles on. Just help me along.
Just a little bit.
Like, as a viewer, I need to see some wear and tear.
I think they blew all the budget on Ed.
His hairline.
He got all the makeup. And then it's like, sorry, we don't have enough putty for you, so we're just going to give you a bob.
We just watched Bodies and, like, we saw what they did to Stephen Graham.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
He looked old.
It's still... I got to say, they are still doing a better job than the X-Men first class movies, where they also did the same thing of each movie pushed on a decade, and Michael Fassbender didn't age an iota from over 40 years. But
well, they did an incredible job on Professor X, because they eventually made him look exactly like Patrick Stewart.
No, they didn't. They just shaved his head, and it was just James McAvoy with a shaved head.
No,
anyway.
I mean when he aged, and it was Patrick Stewart.
Oh, I see.
I was making
That's
a
so
joke.
Clever. Yeah, right. Alita has PTSD.
Yeah.
Right. So we get this. We see this in when she's on the ground in the crisis situation that's happening with the asteroid
Doesn't
project.
Doesn't seem to have happened to her before, because she seems really... She's like, what the... Like, she did...
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I think she was like, what's happening? Or like she... I think it's probably the first crisis situation she's been in that room since the fire.
Oh, perhaps.
Because she seemed completely caught off guard by it, didn't she?
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest. Mm-hmm. This could be routine for her, and what you're describing just could be her reaction to the PTSD.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't think it is, though, because I think she's in one of the most... appearing to be one of the most senior stressful jobs in there. I don't think they'd leave you at it if you
you're
were
right,
walking away
right.
in the middle of a crisis.
This is probably going to be a career breaker for her.
Yeah.
If it goes unchecked.
Well, she can have a different career, but she can't be the person who's in a crisis who appeared to need to press a button that she wasn't pressing or whatever.
That's true. And she had to run away and go to the bathroom. So what else?
I like her haircut.
Her? She's ignoring. She's ignoring calls from NASA. She's working from home before it was cool.
She's working from home. It is not 2020.
Yeah.
Though I think maybe she's just saying that to her husband. But what about her boss that is the new head of NASA?
Yeah, so new director of NASA.
We think he was being too nice to her, and he's a secret bad guy.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He's no, here's what I think. So his name is Eli Hobson. He's played by Daniel Stern, who is the robber, the wet bandit from Home Alone, who isn't Joe Pesci.
I'm amazed you spotted that. Like, after you said it, I eventually was
it's the nose.
Oh.
He's got a very distinct nose.
He looks so different.
So he...
I thought he was the guy who come back from season one or two who'd pissed his pants.
I
thought it was
no,
that character.
It's not him. I don't think we've seen this character before.
No,
it seems to be...
Because it seems like Al Gore brought him in. He's Gore's man.
Yes, and he mentions that he was heading up Chrysler at one point, which is was mentioned in the news montage as being incredibly successful, which I don't think... happens in our world. I don't think that's a very popular car brand anymore. But what do we know about him? He seems really, really nice, which I think is a red flag.
Also, he's an emotionally manipulative character. Because we'll get to Danny in a minute, but he's very emotionally manipulative.
He's manipulating her, for sure.
But anyway, back to Leda. Sorry, I got distracted.
So I think, I don't think Eli, this new director, is a bad guy as such. I think he is a ruthless capitalist. Like Danny mentions that he has made a lot of cuts. I think he's a financier.
I mean, I think he should have made so many cuts. Like, I've long been astounded at how much money people in this world are spending on space travel. It's absurd.
But in this world, it's having...
In the TV world.
But it's having incredible real-world applications. Like, they invented clean energy.
Yeah, but they've already invented it, though.
Oh, so you just stop? What's next? Kathy, wait till they start mining those asteroids.
You just stop.
What's going to come out of that? Like, they're going to have all these rare minerals.
People can just stop once they've achieved something. Like, you don't go to Mars and then mine asteroids.
You keep going, Kathy. Then you create interstellar travel. Then you go to the next galaxy, solar system, and so on. Like, and then you discover life, and then Star Trek happens. Which is obviously Ronald D. Moore's end goal with this.
Okay.
He just started, he worked backwards from Star Trek.
We need to finish up on Alita. So basically, she's like freaking out. She's at home. She's having some sort of a crisis. And then we cut to Margot. So she's thinking about Margot in that scene, and she's just kind of like, I mean, her whole world fell apart because remember, Margot was her surrogate mother.
Yeah.
And Margot was
and
her mentor.
And it was
mentor.
A huge betrayal for her as
she
well.
Was her mentor, yeah. Her kind of parent, her friend, everything. And then Alita herself is the one who figured out what she was doing. So psychologically, that's all completely traumatic, and that was all coming
She'd
to
have
a
guilt.
Head. And then she was in a bomb situation.
Yeah.
So like Alita had an awful time of it. And I think in the last season, was she like kind of separating from her husband or something? But they seem to be back together again. She's another kid now.
They were having marital issues because of her father, who was living with them and had Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah.
And he does not appear to be in this season.
No. But I think the issues weren't necessarily that the father was there, but that she was leaving him at home alone all the time.
That's true as well.
And letting him mind the kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've kind of... Who else are we talking about on Earth? Danielle?
Danielle. So we first meet Danielle at Danny's wife and kids' house.
And
so
we were both like, wait, is Danny dead?
It took us a minute to realign. And Danny is mentioned here. So Danny's wife says that, you know, it gets easier each year that he doesn't show up. But there's a question mark hanging over this whole episode. So
but
Danny.
We
so
thought
last,
he was
last
dead.
Last we saw Danny... We don't know Danny's dead. Last we saw Danny, they had... they were on Mars. They locked him in that, or they sent him to that North Korean spaceship that had landed on Mars, where that North Korean astronaut had been living and eating canned food for months, and they left him with that same canned food.
Right. I struggle. I struggle to remember the end of the last season.
Well, it was a while ago. It's hard.
Yeah.
So that's the last we saw of
And they
Danny.
Didn't have Danny in the recap either, interestingly.
So we don't know.
Poor Danny though, right? All that happened to him up in space. And then only he comes down and his bloody brother is a terrorist.
I know, after all that. Well, we don't know if he came back. We don't know if he survived that. We don't know.
I think
nobody is talking about whether he's alive or dead. It's all very vague. Danielle mentions him again later to the director when she's speaking to him about everything that happened with Danny. But we don't know the outcome there.
Remember, Danny was in love with Karen as well. Like, his brother basically killed Karen.
Yeah, I mean, he's... Yeah, yeah, essentially.
And we do find out in the news recaps that Danny's brother, his annoying cohort in his bombing plot, went to jail, thankfully. But the brother seems to have gotten some jail time. And I hope to God never shows up in this show again.
Yeah, well, they took a plea deal or something, didn't
like
they?
They better not bring him back.
Yeah, he was a
witness. He will serve no plot now. I don't think they'll bring him back.
Oh, God, yeah, I hope he doesn't come back.
But anyway, Danielle is at Danny's kid's birthday, and Danielle seems to be kind of like happily retired.
She seems happy, yeah. She's and we meet her and her husband again briefly.
Simultaneously to this, we've been watching Gen V, and the whole of Gen V, we've been like, who's that guy?
Yeah, it's
who's
him.
That guy? It's Danielle's husband.
So he's played a role in Gen V as well. Of Polaris.
Tough life for him. Like, he's basically been a, like, space widow. Like, he's just been down in Earth while Danielle's been, like... Because you remember the last season, like, I think she married him and he had a son, or he had a daughter. And
he had a son, yeah.
And she kind of finally had this really nice life after all the stuff that had happened with her husband who had died. And then she went up to space again, and then it seems like she was up there for years again, because they, yeah. Then I think they were there 18 months after we left them.
That's right. And she has been now back, she mentions, for 7 years. It's been 7 years since she was up there.
Right, but it's been like probably 10 years since the last season.
Yeah. Roughly. So
and so basically, Danielle, do you know what? She had a lovely life of domesticity. Not for long.
No, so Eli asks her to go back up because one last job. You're the only one who can do it.
He really manipulated her, because she was like, I'm here because of my friend who died, the Russian guy. And then he was like, oh yeah, that must have been terrible. That's why you need to go up again. And that's when Dave and I were like, okay, we could never... Could you ever turn a screw like that on someone who's grieving?
That's why this guy is just good at being a CEO. I think he's manipulative. I think he'll go to the bottom line. I don't think he's necessarily a bad guy, but he's going to make some very cold, calculating decisions.
He needs someone up there.
Like, his friendliness is a
tool.
A tool for, yeah, exactly.
I mean, he is, when he explained why he needed her, it's interesting. It's like, the Russians love you, the South Korea or the North Koreans love you, and the Americans love you, and you're the only person who can tell Ed Baldwin what to do. And then you're kind of like,
it's a smart decision.
It's a really smart, but no, I am not ageist, right? I don't quite know what age this was to be, but can I tell you something that I know?
Go.
In Cork, where we live, there's been all sorts of issues, right, since the start of the school term, where we're in full employment. School buses can't get bus drivers. All these school buses stopped. It's been a disaster for parents. Do you know one of the barriers blocking them hiring school bus drivers? They are not allowed to hire people over the age of 70, even though lots of retired people would actually drive buses, right, for a bit of cash. If a 70-year-old cannot drive a school bus in Cork, why are they sending Danielle to space?
Well,
like, what age is she? So let's work it back. What season did this start in?
Okay, so it was the 60s. It was the early 60s, and they were in their 30s. So, and it's 40 years later, so they're in their 70s.
Noughties.
Right?
So she's a 70-year-old.
They're in their early to mid-70s, is my guess.
So you're telling me now, I know space travel.
Ed could even be in his late...
It's 100. Like, yeah. Okay, I know they're saying like space travel's super easy now. You can fly to Mars faster than your flow.
It looks very comfortable. We get a glimpse of it at the end. They're all having a little seat.
It's absurd. Like, and I totally love that the show's doing it for us, because I would die if the show didn't have Ed and Danielle in it. But it's absurd. And nobody, it's not even like she says, look, I'm maybe a bit old for it. Like,
well, there's an argument that well, look, clearly Ed's plot is like,
he's very ill, I'd say.
He's ill, like, and so he's not, and I think, you know, we'll talk about it in a minute, but that's why he doesn't want to come back, because he knows he won't
pass
get to
medical.
Go up again. He won't pass the medical again. But he obviously did pass the medical, I guess, 5 years ago when he went up.
I don't think Ed ever left, though. I think the implication is Ed's been there since the last season.
Maybe. I don't think he's come back to Earth. Let us know in the comments.
Yeah, let us know.
No, you're wrong, because in one of the news reports there was a photo of them all arriving back, the original Mars mission. So, but he went back up. Now his daughter, Kelly, says, oh yeah, you know, when he's talking to her mother-in-law, the Russian woman, they said he said the same thing in 98, said the same thing in 99, 2000 and 2001. So he's been up there for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. But anyway, Danielle just kind of, it's interesting because she's like, I'll think about it. And then she has that lovely scene with the guy who was in the last season, who kind of all that conversation
and
being gay in space.
That was very fascinating. So.
And kind of caused Ellen to come out in the end. And then he's like kind of happily engaged, which I thought, you know what? We've so few characters left in the show that it's lovely to bring
one
in.
That's nice. And nice to tie off that.
Yeah, really nice.
Now, but for me, they did have a nice scene. I love Danielle, but I feel like the we were one scene short of her decision.
Oh yeah, I couldn't, at the end I was like, wait, what? She's but then you remember the show though, they skip time.
I feel
like they could have given us 2 minutes of her and her husband together
come
having a conversation.
Exactly.
He's such a sideline character.
She had a few seeds there, but like, come on, it's like suddenly, oh, she's just going.
But then remember though, we know Danielle. She's like,
I know,
okay,
she was always gonna go.
Not to bring everything back to the Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary, which we're obsessed with, but the way he's like, oh, like, he will do anything to achieve his goal. He's completely single-minded. That's not like professional athletes are like, Danielle's goal has always been to be like, she's the first American to land on Mars. Like, she's not someone who's sitting around probably wanting to be at Danny's kid's birthday party doing the dishes. I do feel for her husband. But I cannot wait for her to be reunited and say hi, Bob.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Cannot wait. And I'm so happy for Ed that she's going up, because when we see him at the end and he's just this fucking old man sitting in this room
with his, no all these friends. All these memories.
Yeah, so I think for him, photos. I think he needs, anyway, we'll get to him in a second. Before, so we finish on Danielle down on Earth. The last person on Earth is Kelly, who didn't have much plot in this. And I feel like they've sidelined her a bit, because she was one of her and Danny were like our new astronauts. So they can't be leaving Kelly down on Earth with the kid.
Well, it's,
she needs up there as well.
It seems that seems to be her, she's a stay-at-home mother, or is she working for NASA? We don't quite know. We don't get a sense in this.
No, we've no idea what her job is. We just get a sense of
her as a mother. Her main plot is that she wants her dad to come back.
But like, we initially...
And she wants her mother-in-law out of that.
I think we only got one actual scene with her. The other scene was on Ed's phone.
That's true.
So we've no sense of what her job is. So you're right, maybe she does work for NASA. But I'm just like, get Kelly back to space. Like, also, I want to know more logistics about the kids.
Do you want Kelly to leave her 7-year-old son behind?
I don't know, but I just feel like we need more. We don't know anyone in space at the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we do, because let's talk about our new character.
Well, one more thing on Kelly, though. I want to know more on the science behind your kid. Because remember last season, there was all the stuff about her being pregnant and like...
It was the first baby born in space. Yeah,
was it born in space?
Well, it was born in Mars. Oh, yeah.
I wanted to see the kid like floating around.
Oh, no. Sorry, the kid was born in space because they jettisoned her and her pregnant frame up into space
to get to
the spaceship to have the baby, right?
I think I blanked the end of last season because it was so silly. Because
she couldn't have the baby on Mars for some reason.
But I wanted to see this kid now that's alive and seems like a perfectly nice kid. I wanted to see some weird shit going on because he was conceived in space. Like, what's the lasting implication?
I mean, I guess nothing is the answer.
Yeah, I was thinking that he might have like funny like gravity, like couldn't...
He weighs
double. Remember the way Danny was like...
Maybe he weighs half and he can jump twice as high as any other human.
This is what I need.
Actually not a Star Trek origin story. It's an X-Men origin story.
Also, you know the way they're trying to be like she's like, come home for your grandson. It's like, that kid's like 7. If he hasn't seen the granddad in like 4 years, like, no offense, but he won't really care. Like, our kids barely remember someone they saw a month ago.
He does care. He calls him Poppy and talks to him over the video.
But she's pushing it like, girl, Ed's not coming home. Like,
but Kath, she wants her father to be a part of her son's life.
She can push that to her dad and in private. But like, why keep building up your own kid's hopes when you know Ed's not coming back? True. Like, that's it seems like even
the Russian mother-in-law was like, get real, lady.
It's like she keeps building up to the kid, and then the kid gets upset, and it's like, but you're the one who told the kid in the first place. Like, don't blame Ed. Like, Ed is a grown adult who's allowed to live out his final days on Mars if he so chooses that terrible life.
Well. Yeah, but Ed needs to be, you know, Ed needs to...
Does he?
He needs to see his family. I think so.
I think Ed, when he knows he's about to die, should...
They don't know the context of him, of his illness or anything.
I know what Ed should do. She's just like,
come back, you can go back next year.
This is how Ed needs to die. He needs to put on his astronaut suit and just float into space. Like, he shouldn't come back to Earth.
But that's what will happen.
It better.
He's going to die in this season. It better. I mean, that we haven't talked about predictions yet, but like,
prediction.
This is Ed's last season, surely.
This is my prediction. Ed is in space in 30 for the next 3 seasons.
Imagine. No, it's just like Futurama. It's just Ed's head in a jar.
That would actually work because it's the future. But also, like, sorry, we haven't even got to Ed yet. Let's get to we're just obsessed with
it. All right. So our new character is called Miles Dale. He's played by Toby Kebbell. Who I was racking my brain I know him from, and it turns out it's a load of things. He's one of those that guys.
That's what
but
I
Black
said
Mirror.
You.
He was in that guy. He was in the first season of Black Mirror with where you could like recall any memory with your eyeballs. So he is, you know, we spoke earlier about the season 3 political context in America of the energy workers being out of work and being frustrated at the government and the space program. He is a character who was affected by that, an oil rig worker.
That was really interesting.
And I think, great, interesting to see this humanized with someone who's not a textbook domestic terrorist, who I don't want to spend any time with. So he's kind of
I like that we get a bit of a plot with him as well, and like, like what this show does well is it like fleshes him out. Like we meet him as his wife's trying to divorce him, and
he's had to, he's literally having to decide, do I go to a 4-year trip to Mars to provide for my family and keep my, my marriage together?
Well, I think that was an interesting one because he's making the leap of to keep my family together. She's like, your job's got nothing to do with it. We're getting a divorce either way.
Yes, yeah.
But he's doing
it. No, no, but there did seem to be a reconciliation between the two of them.
No, she just was like, oh my God, you're going to Mars. Obviously, let's have sex first. But she even said, this doesn't mean we're going back to getting back together.
Yeah, you're right, she did. Yeah, it does seem to be that he is clinging to some sort of... He's clinging. She even mentions, you know, at one point, you know, you've got that look in your eye, like you've got another wild harebrained scheme.
Yeah.
You know, that like he's obviously somebody who's like, there's talk of him having invested in a project that didn't pay off because the market wasn't right. So, you know, he's someone who takes kind of gambles on projects but takes initiative.
So I like the scene of him lying about going to college. And then when the guy's like, what dorm are you in? And he goes, what dorm wasn't I in? And that was a really good indication of his personality. You're like, oh, he thinks on his feet.
Yeah.
Because that's an answer that I would have probably ran out of the room on because I'd have been so panicked to say the wrong thing.
You probably wouldn't have faked on a form. Like, I would never lie on a form.
It showed how he thinks on his feet. Like, he copied someone's form in the room. He made that, like, dorm joke, which completely got out of it. So I think we barely saw anything of him other than at the end then we saw that he was on the ship with Danielle, which was good.
I was a bit concerned about this character because it was all very, you know, cheesy. Where's my shirt? And I've got to iron my shirt and God, just give me one more chance. You know, I feel like it's all very cliche kind of stuff. But I think Toby Kebbell's a good actor.
Yeah, he's really good.
And I think that's a good example. His like sort of cheeky charm in that interview I really appreciated his sort of crushing, like his elation in the interview, which I shared with him when he was being given the job, and then his crushing realization that he can't go up for 2 years, and then again how dejected he was, and then suddenly this other opportunity is presented to himself, but it comes with a heftier price tag. You know, it's 4 years away.
It's interesting because space travel seems to be more commonplace now. I wonder if it like.
Yes, they meant there's a reference to a really hotel on the first hotel on the moon.
Yeah, because you know the way if you work like in the mines, it's very dangerous work and you have to go away for periods of time that you get loads of money. I would presume it's the same if you go to Mars for 2 years like that, you'll get a lot of money.
I would imagine that's why I was like,
if I was the wife, yeah. I'd have stopped asking for him to sign the divorce papers because I want that like widow's pension if he dies on Mars.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Because it would be huge.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So, and there's a high likelihood he's gonna die. Exactly, on Mars.
Yeah, like,
or some, take or, that or widow's there's gonna pension. Be a catastrophic issue up there.
Like, I feel like the only thing I'm worried about for this season now, because I'm like, this episode was set up, right? That's fine. When a show skips 10 years,
not a whole lot happened.
A lot of setup.
Yeah.
I'm concerned that we have only been introduced to one new character.
No, two. Well, two technically.
Who's the second?
You're the director of NASA, but I know what you mean.
Like. And like they'll obviously introduce more.
He's more of a side character.
But like all we know in Mars is Danielle, Ed, and then this minor dude. It concerns me.
Yes. Now they may introduce more characters as we go. But they will.
They literally have to.
I agree. And they even killed someone else who we had up there.
Maybe Danny's still up there in that ship eating tins of food and they'll bring him in again.
A bearded Danny who's been living on tins of food for 7 years.
No, they should take Tracy and Gordo's other son.
Oh yeah.
And train him and bring him up. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the incident then that happened. So this is the last plot point up on Happy Valley and outside of Mars. So there's this whole project to mine an asteroid. So to bring an asteroid to Mars for its precious minerals, we meet Grigory.
Our beloved cosmonaut.
Our lovely, their head of the Russian contingent who went to Mars in season 3. Friend of Ed's.
Again, another inexplicably old dude. So he wasn't as old as Ed is Danielle.
But you're talking about experience as well. You're right. These people have decades of space experience. So I believe it. And also look, there's that movie Naiad out at the moment, which is a true story about Diane Naiad, the broadcaster who played by Annette Bening, who completed a 100-mile swim in her 60s. Like, people do crazy stuff. And
No, I know that, but I just don't think any corporation would sign off from an insurance perspective on someone that old going up.
Perhaps not. But they did. And yeah. The show has to happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, what could happen? What could possibly go wrong? Except everything. So we see Grigory, you know, I loved all this stuff. This is For All Mankind at its best, where you're... you know, he's rubbing his hand across this asteroid.
That was amazing.
They're really selling the significance of this is the first time anyone's ever been on an like, asteroid.
They kind of implied that Ed could have been out there, but he lost in cards. But I was like, really, Ed?
Something like that. Yeah.
It makes more sense that he's in the control room.
And I loved watching them. You know, this is why this show is so good. This the ingenuity of the human spirit and technology and. Everyone coming together. I love the whole idea. We didn't talk about it. Of the M7 instead of G7. Yeah, you know, the Mars 7.
Or as well as G7. I'm not sure.
Perhaps, yeah. But like, I loved watching them like putting these cables along this thing and attaching it to the spaceship. That's so cool. That's such a cool idea.
It looked beautiful.
And then
I have to say though, I was a little bit bored by it. Like when I think of the disaster in season 3, episode 1 of the wedding, of Danny's wedding.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
That's a bit more interesting. And then the whole thing of the gravity. You know.
This one I was a bit like, okay, you're lassoing something, but like clearly it's gonna go wrong.
I'll agree with you that like I found it it's inherently less compelling to be like, oh my God, the first man to ever touch an asteroid is like not as interesting as going to Mars.
And like you were like, oh my God, they've moved the asteroid and it's going to be hurtling towards Mars and it's going to kill everyone. It's like, that isn't even it. It's just that they didn't catch the asteroid. That's the issue.
No, that's not it yet. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. That asteroid, that's the crisis for this season, I think, is that they've adjusted the trajectory of that asteroid towards Mars, which because they were bringing it there. And if it goes on its own course now without being adjusted by them... and it impacts Mars, it will have a devastating impact on the planet.
I don't think that's the plot because everyone in NASA will have...
No, that's what they're going to figure out in episode 2, and then it's about lassoing the asteroid and stopping it.
Why wouldn't
they
figure it out?
It's Armageddon, Kathy. Are you kidding me? They're going for the Armageddon plot. There's an asteroid going to hit a planet and only an oil rig miner can stop it.
Yeah.
Toby Kebbell is going to be the one on that asteroid, and he's going to sacrifice himself, and Aerosmith are going to be playing.
It does feel a little bit like, you know, the way season 1 was like all about getting to the moon.
Yeah.
And then season 3 was all about getting to Mars. Like, it does feel a little bit like in this season, like, what's the ambition? And the asteroid thing feels a bit lame.
Got to get the rare minerals from the asteroid,
Kathy. But they've already been like, we've gotten rid of the need for like fossil fuels and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, from a humanity perspective.
I know what you mean.
I don't feel like, oh my God, they have to get this asteroid. Like, who cares?
Yeah,
I guess. Even if the Americans get it or whoever gets it, like, those rich countries will just hold on to it and not share it with poorer countries anyway.
No. The M7 are working together. They're going to...
Yeah, but there's only 7 of them. Like, they'll share it between the 7 of them.
Well, yes, that's true.
But anyway, I cannot wait. So predictions, Danielle and Ed saying hi, Bob.
Yeah.
Margot, I think I'm most interested in the Margot Russia plot because that's like proper unknown for us.
Yeah.
And then I just don't know if I'm following any other plots.
You've got, Alita. I'm not sure where that's going really yet.
I'll agree.
Good episode. Good to see them all together, but there's not a whole lot to cling onto yet.
Yeah. I mean, we'll cling onto it because we love the show, obviously. And, like, in fairness, season 4, like, it's for the fans. Like, there's no new people coming into season 4. Like, they have earned the right to give us a slow setup.
It's for the fam.
It is, yeah.
It's for the fam.
It is. They have earned the right to give us a slow first episode. So yeah. And look, season 3 had a brilliant first episode and then kind of crashed and burned by the end. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
In fam we trust.
Exactly.
So guys, thanks for listening. Let us know in the comments what you thought.
Every single prediction you have, please.
Yes, predictions, please.
Did you like it? Did you mind that it was like 80% set up? How poorly do you think they've aged Danielle? Because we thought she was the worst in terms of how they've aged someone up. She didn't look any different from the last season.
No, she had a few wrinkles, but yeah.
As I
said, all the budget went on Ed.
But on his hairline, because even his face doesn't look that old. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they did the best job on Margot, actually.
I think Margot's there, but she's all padded up and is... But then Renschmidt is selling it a bit more, I think.
And Ed, in fairness, we haven't seen walk.
Yeah.
Renschmidt's shuffling a bit. Danielle's just like... hopping through the
She's
place
like hey.
Is there any there was someone else that we were like they weren't even aged up a second.
Alita.
Alita, like they cut her hair, but like she's exactly the same. I felt like Ed's daughter looked
bit older.
Yeah, no, they just, Kelly, they just gave her the haggard look of a mother of two.
Which she only has one
absolutely,
kid.
Absolutely. Or was that maybe one, yeah, sorry.
Just a parent.
But yeah, I absolutely...
Who has to live with their mother-in-law, their Russian mother-in-law.
Empathized with her the most.
Yeah. It's an interesting one that... it's an interesting one that I'd actually totally forgotten that she had a Russian like lover or whatever. That's why she got pregnant. Like, there's so many plots I'd forgotten.
He fell in love with her because of her radio show in space.
Okay, we gotta go. Right. Let us know in the comments what you thought, and can't wait to watch this season with you all.
Very much looking forward to this, and see you all in the comments.
Bye.
Bye.